2 weeks ago, it was a Sunday evening, and I left my house, and I was heading to a meeting, and I was sitting at a light, if you know Fairfax County, Fox Mill Road and Reston Parkway. I was sitting at a light, and I was just sitting there doing my business, waiting for the light to turn. There was a car sitting beside me, and I saw a woman make a left turn pretty rapidly, and then in very slow motion, I saw a guy hit her going about 50 miles an hour. As he hit her, I was like, oh, that's really bad. And then I noticed that she started sliding towards us. So her car comes in and it slides and it rams in between me and the woman that's in the aisle lane beside me. And she drives like a wedge between our cars. And I mean, she just tore up the side of our van. Now, thank goodness kids weren't in there. Thank goodness. Everybody seemed okay. But the awkward part was where she landed. She landed where her driver's side window was right at my driver's side window. Now, being me, I rolled down my window, right? I rolled down my window. She rolled down her window. I was ready to greet her. She had a lot of obscenities to say and a lot of things. And honestly, I started feeling this well of anger because I noticed she had her cell phone in her hand. And then, as the welling of the anger kept coming, I looked in the back seat and her little 3-year-old girl was sitting in the back seat. So I instantly moved from anger to, is everybody okay? The 3-year-old girl was fine. And I have to tell you, in that moment, I was pretty proud of myself, right? I didn't start screaming. I got out and did the thing what pastors are supposed to do. And I checked everybody on the road and I invited 3 people to church, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do in those moments. So I did that, but I was really proud of myself. I got home and I was like, I was calm. I didn't get angry. Look how good I am. Well, fast forward 5 days, and I'm on the phone with the insurance company who is still refusing to pay. Now remember, I was just sitting at a light, being a good guy, doing nothing. This insurance company also happens to be my insurance company. So I'm on the phone with the insurance company, and the guy's like, just charge your insurance. It'll be fine. And I was like, I was sitting at a light. I did nothing. And he's like, I just don't think you understand. And I was like, whoa, that is not the phrase to say to me right now, friend. I was like, I don't think you understand. You know, when you give it right back, like the same phrase, I don't think you understand. I was like, your car's not all beat up right now. My car's all beat up. And then he said, yeah, I mean, I hope that we can get this taken care of soon, but it might be weeks. She's saying that she had a green arrow and she was turning. I'm like, she's lying, as if the guy's just going to take my word, right? Like, all's going to be fine. So I completely lose my temper on this poor guy who is just doing his job. But he did not have the right things to say to me in that moment. It was not fixing my car. Now, fast forward, good news is the car is fixed now. We were without it for about 3 weeks, but it is all good and all is well. But I thought I was so proud of myself that I could control my anger. I'm not that good, y'all. I'm just not that good. We started a new sermon series last week called How Do I Do That? And we're trying to look at just basic emotions and things that happen and figure out, can you be a Christian, a person who follows Jesus, and actually have these emotions? See, I think most of the Christian life in many places is about don't more than do. Don't do this. Don't get angry. Don't get sad. Don't be afraid. Don't have fear. Don't tell the truth to people, especially if it's a hard truth. I think that we spend a lot of time in the church going, well, you can't have real human emotions and be a Christian. But I want to spend time in this series focusing and learning how we can actually have all these emotions and, yes, wait for it, still be Christians. Right? We can be real people and do it. So today we're going to talk about anger. I believe anger is this real human emotion. I want to ask a quick question. This is a congregation participation time. How many people get angry? How many people did not put their hand up and they are lying? That's what I want to know, right? There was like one kid back there. Not me. I'm never angry, right? Guys, it doesn't take much. I don't know about you, but it doesn't take much for me to think about my last few instances of getting angry, of getting frustrated. It might be because we've told our kids to go to bed and they come in for the 10th time with one more question, right? It happens all the time. For kids, it might be because you thought you did really well on a test and you didn't like the answer that the teacher marked wrong and that made you frustrated. Sometimes I get angry when people cut me off in traffic. That probably doesn't happen to anybody here, right? Sometimes I get frustrated when I'm questioned about something that I know is right. And I get angry about that. Sometimes I get angry when I'm walking home from a long, frustrating day and the whole house seems to be in chaos, right? Which happens to us 3 or 4 days a week, right? Where everybody seems to be going in different ways. So anger is this real human emotion. Sometimes I can feel it coming on. I don't know about you, but I can feel it coming on, but I almost always feel guilty after it happens. Right, I can feel it welling and I sense that it's happening, but I almost always feel guilty how I respond. Because good Christian people don't get angry, right? That's not allowed. You're not allowed to be a good Christian and get angry. That's what I've heard. That's the story. That's what people have told me over time. You're not allowed to be real. But I think that what God calls us to do is not to stop anger. That's a human emotion, but to actually get to the root of where it comes from, to try to deal with it and how to respond to it. Here's what I've come to understand, friends. Anger happens. I can't always control it coming on. I don't know when it's going to happen. I can do work all of my life to try to get to it and ultimately still have a blow-up moment and still get really, really frustrated. I don't know how many people saw the movie Inside Out. But Inside Out was a movie about real human emotions, and one of the 6 human emotions in Inside Out is anger. This is my favorite emotion in the entire movie. People think he's grumpy, right? He's a real emotion. Anger is a real thing that happens, and so much so that Disney said, let's make sure when we want to tell people, especially kids, about their emotions and what's going on inside their heads, we make sure we mention this one. It's an important piece of the story, an important piece of the puzzle. Anger is real. And I also want to say, I think if the church has told you over and over again that you're not allowed to get angry, the church is wrong. Anger happens. It's a real thing. And I don't think anger in and of itself is this terrible thing. I think the issue is, friends, what we do with it. How do we respond to it? The issue is what we do with our anger. I think to get to the point of how we respond to it, we have to get to what motivates it. Sometimes for me, anger is motivated by injustice, right? Like one of my kids comes home from school and says they're being bullied. I get angry because that's an injustice thing for me. We're angry because we see young students being trafficked in our community or going into gangs. We're angry because people on the margins are being mistreated. We're angry because someone cuts us off on the road when we have been, yes, waiting our turn and doing what's right. Friends, we can get angry at many different types of injustices. And I think there is good reason for that to pop up at injustice. Right? There's good reason for us to want to respond to the injustices in our world. But there's another anger that I sometimes fall in. It's anger that's motivated by things that annoy me or fear. And both of those are really big things for me. Right? Things that annoy me. I get annoyed when someone parks really close to my car and opening my door requires me to hit their car just to get in. Right? That's just something that annoys me. I get annoyed when too many people in my family are watching Hulu at one time and I can't watch it when I pay for it. Right? That annoys me. Now, those are like silly annoyances, but fear is a big one, y'all. When we get scared, many times when we get scared and something sort of attacks our inner system of everything's going to be okay, we turn to anger. You watch it, you'll see a mom and a kid runs out in the street, right? You've seen this scenario? A kid runs out in the street and they think they're going to get hit by a car and they instantly snatch the kid and say, "Don't do that." Well, it's not because the mom wants to yell at their kid. It's because they're terrified in that moment that their child is going to get run over by a car. Fear is a motivator for anger. And sometimes, friends, that turns into really, really bad response. And that response is rage. How many people have ever dealt with rage? Oh, come on, people. Right? Rage. That's that thing when you're like, I have no more control over how I'm responding. It's sometimes that voice in your own head where you're like, I'm being ridiculous, but I'm going to keep going. Right? I'm being nutty here. I realize that what I'm saying, Susan's laughing because she's seen it before, right? I realize that what I'm saying is crazy and I'm being irrational. but I can't stop myself. The anger has turned into this place of rage. And friends, that's the type of anger that counselors spend session after session trying to deal with. To get to the root of how do we keep ourselves from getting to that place of rage, which causes pain in relationships, which causes division in relationships. How do we get there? Friends, I say it over and over again. Every time we do a poor theology, I say it. At Restoration, we like to talk about real things, and anger is a real thing. It's a real challenge. We raised our hands for every single one of us that are here. But I'd like to think that we can start figuring out how to deal with it, how to respond to it, not how to get rid of it, but how to respond to it. So what's our response? If having anger in and of itself is not a bad thing, because having anger is a natural human emotion, Inside Out told us that, right? We've got that. But dealing with it is a really, really important thing. How do I know, other than Inside Out, that anger isn't bad? I think if we read the scriptures really closely, we see a Jesus who gets angry. And people are always like, well, it's just the turning of the tables. It's just that one time. Watch Jesus with the Pharisees every once in a while. Now, his response may not be rage, but I believe he's deeply angry. When I talk to people sometimes about the Old Testament, they say, well, that's a God of anger. Right? Read the whole thing. It's not a God of anger. But I think God gets angry. But I'll tell you, the place where we see this more often than anywhere else is found in the Psalms. I used to think the Psalms were not super valuable, that they were these things that were written. But you find real, raw emotion in the Psalms. I think that they're incredibly helpful telling us about the nature of humanity and the nature of God. So I want to read you a psalm this morning that may disturb you. Parents, you may have to talk to your kids about this psalm later, but this is a psalm that's found in the Bible, so I can read it. Okay, it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem's fall, how they said, tear it down, down to its foundations. Oh, daughter Babylon, you devastator, happy shall they be who pay you back for what you have done to us. And listen to this last line. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. Y'all, that's in the Bible. Now, before we go, all right, this is a crazy, crazy passage, I want to give you some context as to what's going on here. These people have lost their home. It's during what's referred to as the Babylonian exile, and they've been sent away. They've lost everything. It would be as if someone came into your town, overtook your town, and kicked you out, and then mocked you. Play your songs. Do your things. They take all of your stuff that you had. Talk to a person who's had to leave their country for asylum, and you'll get the same type of story where they were persecuted for their faith or persecuted for something that they believe, and you'll get this story of they kicked me out and took all my stuff. And not only did they lose their stuff, they lost their loved ones. So these are people who are earnestly praying to God this honest prayer that says, God, I want them to receive the pain that we have received. I want them to lose what we have lost. It's an honest prayer of retribution. It's an honest place where we see people able to get angry with God, and God doesn't strike them down for that basic human emotion. And before you get too judgmental towards the psalmist, some of you heard that last verse and you went, how terrible. How many of us have wanted people to pay for what they've done? Oh, I got hands raised. We're like, yeah, I want them to pay. I mean, come on, y'all, right? It's the American way, right? Whatever you did, you're going to get it right back. I actually don't think it's the American way. I think it is sort of a human emotion, a human drive where anger wells up in us and we want to do something, especially, as I said, when we sense injustice. So how do we deal with anger in a way that's healthy? I want to leave you with four things this morning. How to deal with anger in a way that's healthy. And I want to tell you, this is stuff that I am working on as much as I'm encouraging all of us to work on this morning. Here's the first thing. Try and address anger before it hits you. I realize this is not always possible. Anger can creep up on us. We don't know when it's going to happen. But one of our ways to respond to anger is to actually start thinking about the things that get us going. Another way is to think about the question, is the reason that I'm angry at this person because of what they have said to me or what I perceive they might be thinking? Get to the root of this. Have real conversations with people. Ask real questions. Maybe people's motivations aren't what they think they are. So first, do our best to try and address anger before it hits us. Here's the second thing. When it does hit us, because we can't always do that, address it. Deal with it. Acknowledge it and name it. That's what the psalmist does really, really well. There's no doubt the psalmist is angry. Do you agree? There's no doubt the psalmist is frustrated. Often when we name that we're angry, we release ourselves from the anger instead of letting it continue to cause hurt or damage to us or others. You know what one of the worst things I do? If someone in my family, usually my wife, maybe my children, says, "Hey, Tim, I think you're angry right now." I say, "Oh, I'm not angry." Right? I completely deny it as if it's not possible. That never goes well in my house when I deny it, because the person I'm denying it mostly with is myself. And I don't deal with it when I deny it. So acknowledge the anger. Here's the third thing. And this is one I've been working a ton on. Don't do rage. Just don't do it. Catch yourself when you're finding yourself. Feel it. Come on, if you've had rage before, you feel it, right? It's a whole body experience. You feel it coming on. I think rage is actually one of the things that we can control. I think it's one of the things that we can stop. The anger that's born of rage or fear can be terribly damaging to those that we love. Do you know how many people I have sat with in conversations that rage has been the thing that has led to deep, deep pain throughout their entire life? It is rarely just the thing of the week. It comes in stories of it has been since I was a child, that someone in my house had deep rage and I am affected even to this moment by that rage. So friends, when we have moments of rage, at least when I do, I always feel guilty afterwards. There is never a moment after rage when I was like, "Yeah, that was good. That took care of what it needed to take care of." It just doesn't happen. And here's the fourth thing, and I think this is the gift that the psalmist gives to us today. Speak to God about it. Don't be afraid to yell at God. Some of y'all are like, "No, I can't do that." Don't be afraid to yell at God. Don't be afraid to say what you're actually feeling. These psalms are prayers. Often I think when we think of prayers, we think they have to be sweet things. Like, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." Wait till the next line. "If I should die before I wake." That's where it gets a little scary, right? The prayer is getting real. The psalmists show us that prayers can be real. That they can be our real human emotion, the real thing that we're feeling to God. I think when we get to that place in our prayer life where we're genuine and honest with God, it's when we get the most out of it. It's when we experience the most transformation. In his book, Being Nixon, A Man Divided, about President Nixon, author Evan Thomas recalls the occasion when Nixon finally finds out that Eisenhower has died. And Eisenhower has asked that Nixon would deliver his eulogy. And in it, Nixon writes this, author writes this: "Sitting by the fire on a cold early spring evening, Nixon began to muse to his speechwriter, Ray Price, about one particular quality that set Eisenhower apart. He said, 'Everybody loved Ike, but the reverse of that was that Ike loved everybody.'" Everybody loved Ike. Ike loved everybody. Nixon went on to say, "He never hated his critics, not even the press. He'd just say, 'I'm a little puzzled by those fellows.'" Price could picture Nixon's mind working, catching himself. Nixon knew that what he had said was not quite true. It was too much to believe that Ike never felt anger, that Ike never hated anyone. But what was true was that after a blow-up, Ike let the anger pass. He released it, and he let it go. Friends, if you take anything away from today, don't let anger fester. Deal with it. Talk to someone. Speak to God. Give God your anger. Let it happen. Because I think the way that we please God is not to just stop anger altogether. That's when we stop being real. The way that we please God is when we actually start to deal with it, when we start to process it, when we start to do something. The best witness that we can give the world is to not let our anger take over us. You know what the world thinks of the church often? They're a bunch of angry people who think they have everything together. One of the greatest gifts that we can give the world is to not let anger take over us. But make no mistake, friends, one of the worst witnesses that we can give the world is to let our anger be the message that we share. So deal with it.